Got to feed that boy.
You are getting your man card pulled.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys. If you're just tuning in, glad you are. It's the weekend. Fall is right around the corner. I guess officially we're not quite there yet, or are we? We haven't fallen back in time. That's the one that usually triggers me is when we spring ahead and fall back, then the fall's here for me. But well, let's talk a little
bit. Messes up the sundial.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Got to go out and move it. Yeah. But anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about grilling wild animals because this is the season when we, in Bob's word, kill them. We don't harvest them. And we got to do something with them once we get them. So let's talk venison.
Yes. I think a lot of people, and I talk to people a lot about venison only because I'm very much intrigued by it and a huge fan of it, but also because I want to encourage the youth to keep the sport alive because it's a fantastic part of our heritage and human culture in general. Man has always had to go out and kill the beast to feed his family. And I think if you get too used to going to the supermarket, you get what you pay for. And sometimes people are finding out that some of the things in the supermarket are maybe not what they're supposed to be or as healthy as they could be. So there's nothing more pure and healthy than a fresh whitetail from Michigan or North America because they're so smart. They eat the things that they love. And if, you know, a lot of people say, well, I had one that was all gamey and all this. I'm going to tell you that a great percentage, and Tim Sobey told us this too, a great percentage of the success, I should say, of good taste and tame meat is in the preparation. So making sure that when you do make a kill, that you get out there and you address that animal body, that carcass, you address it properly and you take care of the things that maybe will affect the flavor of that protein. And one of the big things I discovered, and I'm going to mention it again, it's the blood. I've been doing it wrong most of my life. And last year, accidentally, I tried something different just because it was warm and I killed a doe and I wanted to get it cooled as quickly as possible. So I skinned it and boned it on the spot and put it in large bags in a cooler on ice. And I didn't get to, I didn't get home in time. It took me 4 days before I got that thing home. And what I noticed, what I was awestruck with was the amount of blood in those bags. And the whole goal I was trying to achieve all those years of hanging a deer was to let it bleed out. But it wasn't doing it. It doesn't do it because you've got too many muscle groups and they're all just contained in a carcass that's hanging and with, you know, a few spots exposed to be able to bleed out. And those spots aren't bleeding that much. So it's the blood, in my opinion, I'm sure of it, that gives venison that iron taste. And I'm very sensitive to iron. Like if, you know, if you've got a well and you've got hard water, that to me, that's repugnant. I wince. I can't drink that. When I taste venison that has a distinct iron taste as well, I'm less than thrilled about the taste. So this thing, I had it quartered, actually had the whole thing boned and in bags and then on ice with ice over it in the coolers. And it did the job of letting it bleed, and that got all that iron out of it. And I'm telling you, dude, I canned this one. And when I cubed it up and sauteed it, the first little one that was done is I've got my huge lodge 22 inch on the stove.
Sure.
With garlic EVO, onions, and whatnot in there. I had to, of course, like any griller, any chef, anybody cooking, you have to, you know, if it starts to smell really good, you have to take a taste. I also have fresh thyme from my garden in there. And I love thyme as a spice for red meats. And I'm telling you, that was the first bite, and it was a eureka moment. It was so tender mm-hmm. and so tasty. It was like the best beef tips you would ever want. And I think I ate 2 pounds of it while I was sauteing it to get it ready for the jars. Yeah. I could not stop.
Right.
And that, so the point, I'm overbearing, I know, but getting that thing to bleed out, if you're a hunter, and if you're not, and this grosses you out, I apologize, but we all handle meat if we're grilling guys, and whether the butcher takes care of it or you take care of it, there are certain things you'll want. There's a reason they put those pads under steaks. They want to absorb all the blood.
Right.
Because it's going to keep bleeding out. You've cut across the grain of the muscle.
Right.
And if there was a bunch of blood in the bottom, people would be all grossed out.
Right. But I'm spot on with you. Exactly. So we actually, if you don't cut it up, the tip is hang it from the feet up and the head down. So many people hang their buck by the antlers, and because the theory is there that gravity will help blood move until it gets super cold, but it's that first 3 hours before it rigor mortis sets in.
Well, and if
that
you
want it to head to the head, because you're not eating that portion. Most people will stop at the base of the neck and take the shoulders, the back straps, and the hind quarters, and then the blood runs down, and you don't have so much of that, because not everybody cuts it up immediately,
right?
In the field.
And I guess I would encourage you to try it, because if there's so many YouTube videos to show you, there are guys that can bone out a deer in 2 minutes. They're amazing videos to watch, and it inspires you.
Yeah, but you got to keep it clean and keep it dry and let it and cold, right?
Yeah.
Those three things, and then you're good. And put it in a bag and in a cooler.
Right. And then the other question is, do you skin your own deer? Well, a lot of guys will leave the hide on it to take it home that way. And I have a problem with that, too.
Right.
Because you're keeping the heat in the animal too long.
Right.
You want to cool it as fast as you can. So if there's ever a time to skin it, it's right away. So hanging it by its feet, back legs, up.
Right.
Is definitely the way to do it.
Right. And then take the skin off it to let it cool.
Yes. And what's the device I have? What's it called?
A gambrel.
A gambrel.
Yep.
Wonderful. Wonderful way to go.
Usually
it's
on
got,
a hoist. And
it's
you
got can, a set of pulleys on
right.
it.
Right. Yep.
And especially, like, I'm by myself a lot of times when I'm doing that, because whoever I'm hunting with is still in a blind or whatever.
Yeah, because you always get your buck first.
Yeah. No, it's just that... I'm impatient.
Yeah.
And the guys I hunt with are older and not so mobile.
You know what? They're smarter. It's like, I don't want to muscle that deer with him. We'll just let him do it. And then I'll just come back into camp when it's time for dinner.
Yeah, there you go. I just don't want them to have to do my work because.
No, I get it.
I appreciate them coming up.
That's part of hunting, though, is you know, the camaraderie and getting stuff done together and celebrating somebody's, you know, kill. And it's just good stuff. So are we ever going to talk about your favorite venison recipe, or is that another show?
I think we're headed that way.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, that's good, because he called me last night, and he's like, hey, Jop, we're going to talk about wild game. I want you to cover pheasants and geese. And I'm like, dude, I ain't got 20 minutes of pheasant and geese. But so we'll
I know how
something.
This always goes, though.
Right.
We have a show plan, and we just start chatting like a couple buddies for some weird reason.
Right, and that's kind of how this whole show works. For the last 15 years, we've been doing this, and thank God you guys are remotely entertained when we do it, so you tune in.
Can't wait to get to the black bear in the last segment.
Right. Yeah. Coming up next, we'll talk about some more wild game.